Hello, and welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Heather, and on today's episode, we will be discussing The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. This book is detailed as a psychological thriller, which that is a fucking stretch, because this is not a psychological thriller whatsoever.
Listen, I think I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Okay.
Because this affected me psychologically.
Okay, true. True. It did affect me psychologically, but...
But I get where you're coming from, and I agree.
Yes. So anyways, as per usual, what is your caffeinated beverage of the day?
I actually just finished my... We went to take Moo to see Christmas Lights.
That's adorable.
And like the little drive-through thing. So we were like, we have to get hot chocolate. And it's like 60 degrees today, but whatever. Mm. We had to get hot chocolate. So I got a peppermint patty hot chocolate cappuccino mix.
Oh.
So it was caffeinated.
From Wawa?
From Quick Check.
Oh, Quick Check. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. It wasn't too peppermint-y, which was good.
Nice. I know. So, I don't like when the peppermint is overpowering to the point that it tastes like I'm, like, drinking toothpaste.
Well, and I got worried because peppermint patty is definitely a strong peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, those things are, like, all sugar and hot water, so
literally,
it wasn't too strong. But it was delicious, and we had the windows open, so it was still, like, cooler.
Yeah, because
I enjoy it.
I literally texted Eric today, and I was befuddled because I was, like, I didn't expect to be turning the air on in my car in December, but here we are.
Here we are.
Whatever.
And less than a week ago it snowed.
Yeah, and it's going to snow next week. Like next, I believe I saw snow in the forecast for next Monday.
I wish that we had government that cared about global warming. Anyway, okay. What's your caffeinated beverage?
I had my usual iced caramel coffee from Dunkin'. I did go to Starbucks yesterday, and I got the sugar cookie iced latte with oat milk. I don't know if they changed the syrup, but I did not like it.
Really?
And I was so upset.
Favorite.
I know. And I was like, this is not as good as I remember. And I don't know if it's because I've been like pounding back caramel brulees that's just all I'm used to, but I couldn't even finish it. I had a full $8 coffee in my car. I'm just not didn't drink it.
Oh no.
Yeah. So yeah, great way to start my day yesterday.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So now who knows what'll happen next year?
I know.
You're gonna have to find a new one.
Yeah, I mean the caramel brulee is just, it never disappoints. And that's just what I love. So I think I'm just going to stick to what I love and like experiment with coffee flavors at home because then I can dump it out and try again.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't like order a drink at Starbucks, taste it like, oh, I don't like this. Can you make me something else? Like, it's not how it works.
Yeah. And it's so expensive to get something good.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I always want to try the other stuff. And sometimes I do. But usually I just stick with my blonde latte. I'll switch up the syrups. But that's it.
Yeah. So, whatever.
Tomorrow's a new day.
Wednesday's a new year, and that's all I need for each. So, this novel was originally published on July 3rd, 2020, and shocker, this was her debut novel. We love a debut novel on this podcast. She has gone on to write thriller novels since this one was released, and actually has become, like, an instant, like, New York Times bestseller. Like, she's just... She's kind of like a Freida McFadden, just like churning them out, but just not as quickly. There is a sequel to this novel being released on April 15th of 2025. Will I be reading this one? That is a resounding no. And if that doesn't tell you how I felt about this novel, then I don't know what to tell you. So if you loved this book and you came to this podcast ready for me to tell you how much I loved it, that's not what's going to happen. And so I apologize. The story graph description, or even like the back of my book, because literally it's the exact same thing on the back of my book. Would you defend your husband if he was accused of killing his mistress? Sarah Morgan is a successful and powerful defense attorney in Washington, D.C. At 33 years old, she is named partner at her firm and life is going exactly how she planned. The same cannot be said for her husband, Adam. He is a struggling writer who has had little success in his career. He begins to tire of his and Sarah's relationship as she is constantly working. Out in the secluded woods at Adam's and Sarah's second home, Adam engages in a passionate affair with Kelly Summers. Then one morning, everything changes. Adam is arrested for Kelly's murder. She had been found stabbed to death in Adam and Sarah's second home. Sarah soon finds herself playing the defender for her own husband, a man accused of murdering his mistress. But is Adam guilty or is he innocent? Dun, dun, dun. So can I tell you that when I first read the name Kelly Summers, I was like, this sounds like a name from Saved by the Bell. So the perfect marriage is told in alternating point of views of Adam and Sarah. And then they're a married couple going on 10 years together. They live in D.C. Sarah's this powerhouse, top criminal defense attorney who absolutely puts her job and career first over her personal life, 100%. And then we have Adam, who is a floundering author. He had one successful book, and he's trying to chase that high of writing another one, albeit unsuccessfully. They have a lake house in Prince William County, Virginia, which is where Adam spends the majority of his time, since the whole premise for purchasing the lake house was to jumpstart his writing career. We, the readers, are very quickly thrown into his love affair with a cafe server, Kelly. And they've been involved in a very sexual relationship, like very sexual, for the past year and a half. I was not expecting the amount of sex that was in this book. Like, the first two paragraphs were so raunchy. I was like, this is not what I'm like, am I reading a dark romance? I was like, this is not the book that I was led to believe I am reading.
Yeah.
It was
definitely like a shock value, rough sex.
Yeah.
Crass language.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just wasn't ready for it, to be quite honest. And then it's presumed that Kelly is involved in an abusive marriage, and she's also, like, seeking solace in this affair because her marriage isn't great because she's dating an asshole, it sounds like. And Adam is having the affair because Sarah would rather be a successful attorney than be a good wife. On the night of Kelly's murder, Adam awakes in the middle of the night and leaves Kelly in the lake house. And then he writes her, like, a love note. Like, it wasn't you to start, but it will be you in the end. And, like, you know, it was so dumb. And then he also, and this part, like, grossed me out. He just, like, went and, like, stuck his hand between her legs and was like, oh, wetter than she's ever been. And I'm like, is that supposed to be blood? Like, I was, like, so confused. And I'm like, well, if it was, like, he would see blood on his hand, so I guess it wasn't, but I was just like, this is weird, and I don't know.
That's what I was waiting for him to find the blood on his hands, because yeah. She was already dead.
Uh-huh. Which, you know, like, how did he not notice that? And, like, was he getting ready in the dark?
Also, blood does not feel the same.
Yeah.
But he's just so, like, oh, she's in her sleep.
So turned on by me.
She's thinking about me and she's so turned on. Like, God. He's just... There's nothing wrong with the people's egos in this book. Let me say that.
No, there's definitely not. So Adam goes back home to Sarah, who was out that same night with her assistant, Anne. And Sarah wakes up to Adam coming home and doesn't even, like, question, like, where he was. He's just like... Just like, oh, I guess you, like, fell asleep at the lake house. And then she, like, and Adam is, before coming home, he's so ready to break off this marriage with Sarah. He's like, I'm done. I'm going to stay with Kelly. Like, this is the marriage I'm meant to be in. And then Sarah says, I want a baby. And Adam is like, never mind. This is all I've ever wanted. And then they just, like, have sex. And I'm like, and Adam just does this total 180. Now he's all about Sarah again. And he's going to end things with Kelly when literally an hour before it was the opposite. And I'm like,
I also just have some logistical and detail questions. Like, he gets home in the middle of the night and he's been banging Kelly all night long. Just, he's got to be covered in fluids, smelling like sex. He doesn't shower and she's just like, hello, let's have a baby. And then his attitude change is the best part of this whole book. He's like, wow, I really feel like that. I know she's pregnant. I really this is it. My life is beginning with this exact moment. Just because she said she never wanted kids, and then in the middle of the night before we were about to have sex, she said, let's have a baby. That means her whole outlook has changed.
The next morning, Kelly is found murdered by the lake house cleaning lady. Because also, like, at the end of his note, he's like, P.S. leave by 9. Just like, how do you know she's going to see the note, number one?
Send a text.
Like, because it sounds like he just, like, left on, like, the kitchen counter or something. Like, how do you know that, like, she's going to go walk around the... I don't know. It was just very weird. And it's determined that she was stabbed 37 times while in the bed. I was like, oh, that's violent. Mm-hmm. Adam is immediately arrested by Sheriff Stevens and one of his deputies, Marcus Hudson, and they charge him for murder. And then while at the police station, we find out that Kelly was married to one of the cops in Prince William County. And this dude barrels into the investigation room and just beats the shit out of Adam at the police station. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe she really is an abusive marriage. Because that's a lot of anger and a lot of toxic masculinity.
And the other cops are like, whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
He almost beat him to death.
I know. And like, I had a feeling, like, I had a feeling that Kelly's husband was a cop because when they got to the house the first, like the original time that we meet them, Marcus was like such a dick to the point that I was like, either he knows Kelly or, like, he knows the husband really well. So I wasn't surprised that he ended up being, like, one of the deputies. Sarah decides to defend Adam, even though he cheated on her. And the one thing throughout this novel that was mind-boggling to me and just I hated, like, she has a very difficult time keeping her husband on a tight leash. Like, this dude... like, he fucked up big time. Like, he cheated on his wife. And his wife, who is, like, this top defense attorney, could have been like, fuck you, I'm out. And instead, she's like, no. She's like, let me help you. I'll exonerate you. And so you think at that point he would just be a good person and be like, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You don't want me to talk to anybody? Cool. You don't want me to escape? Fine. Like, he does the exact opposite. Like, he's talking to people he shouldn't be talking to. Like, he has multiple conversations with Scott Summers. Like, multiple conversations. And then also he hires a reporter to do, like, dirty work for him, thinking that that was going to work out well. He gets put on house arrest, is explicitly told, do not try to escape house arrest, and escapes house arrest.
And he's like, I knew it was a bad idea, but nope, that's where it ends. There's no,
and like
there's
no but. And like, I'll get to it later, but like, he goes to Sarah's place of work and then just like tries to like beat the shit out of Anne, a female. And then he like beats the crap out of Bob, this attorney, and it just turns into like this huge mess. And then he gets put at the, so of course he gets like rearrested and he gets put in custody again at the police station. And then he escapes the police station and is just on the run. So this dude is wilding out during this entire investigation. And I just would love to understand Adam's frame of mind. I would love for you to share your highlight here. Because I think that this describes perfectly the man that Adam is and how psychotic he was.
And that's the thing. So the whole time he's maintaining his innocence.
Exactly.
But then he's escaping and he's like, no, but it's fine because then I'm going to prove that I'm innocent. And yeah. Sarah is like, you do realize even if you're innocent now, this is a felony.
And like, also like now you look guilty. Like you're trying so hard to like not be held in custody and you should be obeying the rules of the law. And instead you're like, fuck it. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. So basically, he is just being abused by the system and being wrongfully accused. And so he escapes. And I get the idea that he's not a person who spends a lot of time in nature. But when he's sleeping under a tree, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's sleeping under a tree. And then he starts observing these ants. And... allow me to read my highlight.
Yes, please.
This is Adam talking about the ants. I wanted to be one of them. Every morning I would have a purpose. Trekking into the woods, searching for building material and food to bring back to the colony, I would have friends, a team, a clear sense of direction. For all the wrong I did, my sloth, my lies, my infidelity, I didn't deserve this. Aunt Adam would be born anew. At night, I could rest knowing I put in an honest day's work, fill my belly, once in a while plant my seed in the queen. Really not much different than my own life, just not aimless, and finally, fair.
This dude likes to plant his seed in as much as he possibly fucking can.
That's not even the craziest part of this book. That's the kicker there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he would love to be fucking that queen.
Oh.
Queen ant.
Yeah. 100%. So dumb.
So fucking stupid. And he's like, this is so unfair. My life would be so much more fair if I was an ant.
Yeah. I was like, okay, bro.
Which, like, honestly, yes. A lot less people would be hurt if Adam was an ant.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Sarah goes to great lengths to exonerate Adam, and she finds out about Kelly's past and that her real name is actually Jenna Way, and that she was charged with murdering her first husband, who ironically was also stabbed to death viciously. And she got off on a technicality because of missing evidence. And then the assumption is that this is because she ends up dating Scott, who was the cop at that point. And so he obviously obfuscated some evidence and made it disappear. And obviously they can't live together wherever they are. I can't remember. It's not even important. And they relocate to Virginia. And then it becomes to light that Bob, I can't, there's just like so much. He's like this asshole attorney at the firm. And the conversations between him and Sarah were so, I can't even properly describe them, but they were so stupid. Mm-hmm. It was like a pissing match between the two of them. And so you, off the bat, you're like, okay, well, Sarah obviously hates this guy and he's a scumbag, but you don't really know. And then it turns out that he's the brother of Jenna's / Kelly's murdered husband. So he's Kelly's brother-in-law. I'm like, what? web that she has woven.
And also, how? Because they moved elsewhere. Like, yes, it's a small world, but it's not that small. Because then he, like, changed his name or is being called by a different name, because wasn't his name Nick?
Yeah, but he goes by Bob, which, I mean, like, maybe was like,
why?
I mean, or I think like his middle name was like Robert, or maybe his name was Robert. I don't know.
I just have a lot of questions. But, like,
well, okay, then there's also, like,
you got your twist.
Yeah, and then there was also this part in the book where Rebecca, the reporter, comes to Adam with all these lists of names that could be the dead husband's brother. And Rebecca's like, oh, his last name is Miller. Like, that's really not a popular name, so you should be able to easily, like, get through them all. And I'm like, my husband's best friend's last name is Miller, and I know plenty more Millers. What do you mean it's not a popular common name?
It's arguably one of the most popular.
I was like, what thing make it make sense? It doesn't make sense. So yeah. Are you looking it up?
It's the 7th most common surname in the US.
Yeah, that tracks. I knew it had to be in the top 10.
Oh, in 2020, when this book was written, it was the 24th most common. So it dropped quite a bit, but still up there.
Okay.
That drove me crazy because she easily could have said any other name. Like,
I know.
Any not common name.
I know.
But instead, it's basically like saying John Smith. Like,
I agree, 100%.
Could have said anything else.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
And it turns out that there was 3 sets of DNA found in Kelly's body. Adam, Scott, and then an unknown 3rd male. So clearly Kelly is getting it on, which good for her. No shaming here. You got to do what you got to do.
But Adam is all offended. He's mm-hmm. like, oh, was she sleeping with someone else? Like, bro, you better get off that high horse.
Yeah. Which she was sleeping with someone else, obviously. And Sarah does eventually find it out, but she doesn't tell anyone. Which I don't know why this had to be like a huge secret. And she basically has her shady gay best friend, Matthew, like do illegal work to find out. So I'm like, is he just like going around and just picking hair off men? I'm like, how is he getting the proof of whoever they're trying to match this DNA sample with? And it turns out to be Sheriff Stevens, which did not see that coming. I thought it was going to be Marcus, the guy's partner, because he was like shady and he was always showing up during like interrogations. So I was like, oh, maybe he had, and I was like, oh, maybe he had something to do with the murder too. So that's why like he's just like constantly like showing up. I was like, maybe this is some kind of like red herring, one of 150 that were in this book.
That would have made more sense.
Yeah. Because but no, it's then- Sheriff Stevens. Who, and like, his by the way,
didn't make like his whole attitude about everything didn't track with that.
No, and he didn't even seem upset that Kelly was murdered.
Yeah,
and he just apparently wanted to just fuck Sarah because everyone in this book wants to fuck Sarah, every person.
And I'm sure that she is so fuckable, in fact, that he would further complicate the fact that this guy is being charged with murder and his wife is defending him, which is already complicated enough. And then he's going to fuck the wife, complicate the whole investigation uh-huh. even more, because not for nothing, there is no way that she is able to defend her husband. Like,
no.
There has got to be a law against that.
There's, I know.
Like, I feel like the...
conflict of interest or something.
Yeah, and I feel like the prosecutor would be like, no, like, this is not working.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I have a lot of questions, but I am aware that they will not be answered. So let us move on.
Although they may be answered in the sequel, which I'm not reading. So if you read it. So Adam is convicted of a double homicide because, oh, yes, Kelly was pregnant with Adam's child. And when he finds out that Kelly was pregnant, he, like, does this, my unborn child. Like, he, like, wails. Like, it's the saddest fucking thing in the world. And I'm just like, okay, she was only, like, a few weeks along. So it wasn't, like, anything crazy. But, bro,
she was, like, 4 weeks pregnant or something.
Yeah. And you were just excited about impregnating your wife. So now you're upset. I don't even want to talk about it because I can't find the words to talk about it. And he ends up getting the death penalty. And after the verdict, the book just flash forwards to like 11 years. Which I was like, oh, okay. And then Sarah doesn't outwardly tell Adam, but she just tries to insinuate that she knows that Adam didn't do it because she knows who the killer was because it was her. I was so fucking mad for multiple reasons, but before I even get into it. So Sarah was approached by Bob, who tries to blackmail Sarah because he discovered the affair. And instead, Sarah suggests that they kill Kelly and frame Adam for the murder. She drugged the scotch that they were drinking, and so after their sex marathon, they passed out, and Sarah killed Kelly and went home. And then the kicker is she ends up with Bob, and then they have, like, a 6-year-old daughter.
Yeah. Okay. So she drugged the alcohol, and then she made the cops test the alcohol and they were like, no, there was no drugs in there. And she's like, oh, I guess the sheriff just hid those results. And it's like, okay, so that was a happy coincidence. And then she's like, that they purposely fed Adam the information about who Bob was mm-hmm. so that basically so that Adam would have some semblance of hope that he was going to get off. I don't know why that matters, because he's not going to get off, because she's seeing to that. And they're risking Bob being falsely accused. Not falsely, because he did it, but like, they're risking Bob going to jail by letting this little nugget of information out.
Mm-hmm.
I just have, okay. And then picture Bob, like, marching into Sarah's office and planning to blackmail her, and just like having this smug ass look on his face, like, oh, I'm about to ruin your life. And she's like, actually, I'm on your side. Let's kill somebody. And
he's
okay.
And also, like, why is that, like, her immediate reaction to her husband cheating? She's like, let me kill the mistress and then frame my husband.
And not for nothing, I mean, I am not of the opinion that she drove him to cheat. I do not believe that. But she really didn't know. I mean, she did know, but she really didn't know. Like, he's at this lake house all the time. You barely ever see him. Uh-huh. You blow him off every single weekend. You think that he's just sitting home jerking off every day? Like, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe she should have checked his phone, like, just one time. Just one time.
And the fact that she just never, ever sets foot in the lake house.
And she says she's coming basically every weekend, and every weekend she blows him off. Like,
exactly.
If I was Adam, I wouldn't go cheat on her, but I would be like, okay, I'm going to get out of this relationship, and I'm going to take half your shit.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's why she wanted to kill Kelly instead of divorcing Adam, because she didn't want to lose half her money to Adam.
Yeah.
Which, like,
fair. Okay,
that's actually a fair motive. That I can actually get behind.
Yeah. So the whole the final twist being that Sarah was the murderer just doesn't track with her narration of the story. Like, there's not one thing that she does throughout the book that makes, I feel like, us, the reader, think that it's her. So then when it comes, when it happens, I was just, like, obviously disappointed, because you could have done more to maybe make me think it was her and then prove me wrong and then be like, no, wait, it was her. Instead, she's just like, okay, she's perfectly fine, doesn't know anything. Oh, nope, I did it. And I'm just like, okay.
And also, she's supposed to be this amazing lawyer who never loses.
Uh-huh.
And so they keep hinting that, you know, her focus isn't there because her husband and blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's her excuse for losing.
I mean, but Adam is helping her unintentionally, because he just keeps fucking up and just going rogue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he would have lost anyways. But yeah, I do agree that they say that, oh, she's like the super concentrated lawyer who only cares about her work. But when she takes on Adam's case, she's just like a hot mess and like not doing anything properly.
And also, just because you want to defend him doesn't mean you would be the only lawyer. Like, if you think you're the only one who can get him off, you could have another lawyer and you could be like second counsel. Or
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's, yeah.
This would just never happen. Like, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. And then, just, like, the obvious red herrings were terrible. Like, what I said before, like, Marcus being suspicious, and then you kind of think, like, oh, maybe he was the one that was the third set of DNA. But then again, he has, like, this super chummy relationship with Scott, so, like, it can't be him. But then why is he being suspicious? Like, he just shows up in the interrogation rooms for, like, no apparent reason. And, you know, as the reader, you were waiting for some kind of resolution to that, and, like, you don't get it.
And they never even look into him. Like,
no.
He's not even an explored option.
Mm-mm.
Also, a really big issue I have is some of these secondary characters and how exaggerated they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how, is his name Matthew?
Yeah.
And how he's just such an asshole.
Yeah.
And, oh, he just speaks his mind. And then the mother, and, like, I get it, mother-in-laws, but she is such a fucking bitch. She's straight up, every time she sees Sarah, tells her that she is the reason her mom is dead. Like,
She was
this
such
does
an,
not happen.
She was such an unnecessary character, and like I didn't like her at all, and I didn't like how she was written. And you know, if she's a, if she, and also like the same thing I saw, I like went on like a Reddit rabbit hole, and someone had said, if Eleanor was as rich as this author is making her out to be, she would have been doing everything in her power to like appeal Adam's case, and it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And if she loved her son as much as she did, like it just didn't, there's just a lot of
and then
not well like researched things.
Yes. And it's just so, it just felt lazy because these are not complex characters. They don't have like, they don't have other sides to their personality. Even Anne is, her only personality trait is being obsessed with Sarah. Like, slowly forming herself into Sarah. I'm surprised she didn't try to fuck Adam so that she could be like Sarah.
I thought Anne wanted to fuck Sarah. I was like, she's just, like, so obsessed with her to the fact that I'm like, are you in love with yeah, Sarah?
I think she probably was.
And, you know, and that was, like, another, like, red herring that she was, like, so obsessed with Sarah. So she was going to, I'm like, so that because of this, and then she knew about the affair and she was trying to force Adam's hand to tell Sarah about the affair, and he just didn't do it. And then, oh, there was actually something else I saw that I didn't catch personally, but a lot of readers caught, and it's like such a minor thing, but it just kind of goes to show that, like, I don't think this book was properly edited before it was published, because someone said that the book starts with Kelly having brown eyes and then at some point she has blue eyes, or vice versa, but still there was like there was just like,
I hate that.
Yeah. So it didn't seem like this book was edited. And I agree, actually, mm-hmm. Full-heartedly.
And then we get this in the 11 years later / epilogue. Sarah says that she killed her mother.
Yeah. Which,
and it's like, if that was the direction that the author was going, like, oh, she's always, you know, in order to get what she wants or in order to protect herself, she's always done things like this, or she's a sociopath or whatever. But then that wasn't really explored, or like, you know what I mean? Like it was.
No, I agree, because, you know, when you get to the end of the novel, you're meant to believe that Sarah's, like you said, like this sociopath, but she's never once presented like that at all. Like the first time that Adam meets her, it's at a college frat party, and she's just against the wall, being like a wallflower, not wanting to talk to anyone, and she's like meek and mild and everything. And so then of course, like, he absolutely falls in love with her because cliche, and you know, she's so nice to him in those first few chapters when you like when you're introduced to them as characters, and even like throughout the trial and everything and the investigation, she kind of keeps coming back like, oh, like, I know, like, he did me wrong, but, you know, I still love him, blah, blah, blah. And then to come out and say like, oh, I killed Kelly and also I killed my mom. It's like, what?
And also the fact that, okay, so they have this extremely strained marriage where they barely spent any time together. She works 20-hour days. She blows him off all the time. But then every time they're together, they're so incredibly in love and passionately kissing, yeah, and can't keep their hands off each other. And mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's fine that I'm a horrible wife because Adam is so obsessed with me. He can't keep his hands off me. And that's the view we get from Adam too. Like, he's mm-hmm. like, oh God, I've always had this weakness for her, even though she's completely ignoring me.
I know. Like, the sexual innuendos in this book were so, they didn't fit with the book. Like, okay, if you want to put, like, some sex into a thriller, like, that's fine. I think that sometimes is warranted. But this was reading, like, campy and just trying to also be, like, a smutty mm-hmm. thriller book, which isn't really a thing. And
if you need there to be this like rough sex, because okay, we have this, you know, shocking opening where they're having like this whole night of rough sex to show, you know, how connected they are and their relationship, blah blah blah, then make that come up again.
They yeah.
barely mention, oh, she had some bruises. Oh, Adam had to tell Sarah that he liked it rough with Kelly. Like, it didn't come back again.
And also, it's like this weird thing that, like, Adam apparently likes rough sex, but, like, it's never, like you said, like, talked about again. And it's like, well, why didn't he ever do it with his wife? Like, why does he have to do it with a mistress? It's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Also, did we ever find out if Scott was actually abusive?
I don't know.
Because she came to his lake house, to Adam's lake house one day, covered in bruises, split lip, black eye, all this stuff. And then Scott is like, no, I accidentally elbowed her when I was, like, reaching for something.
Which is, like, what abusive men say, so it could, you know.
100%. And also so weird that Adam was like, I don't know why, but I immediately believe Scott. What? I mean, that's men believing men, but whatever.
I can't. And then, like, we talked about, like, Bob being the brother-in-law was just another hoop that we didn't need to jump through. And then there was, like, the whole Jesse Hook angle. This random ass dude that was obsessed with her that would just frequent the cafe. And the fact that Sarah has to go out of her way to find these people because the sheriff just like, oh, case is closed. There's no more evidence. And I'm just like, it just makes no sense.
And that's not the way it works because the case is not closed. It's going to trial.
Exactly.
And the prosecutor would have to know about all of these other things that the defense attorney could find out.
I know. He just keeps saying his case is closed. I can't help you anymore. Case is closed. And someone even said that too on the Reddit. They were like, that's not how the law works.
Yeah. And especially just for like a DNA sample. Like.
Yeah.
You, the fact that they were so nonchalant about finding out whose DNA this was. And also, the sheriff's DNA has to be in the system, right? No, that would be his fingerprints. Okay, never mind.
I mean, I don't know. But even still, that is that I feel like that's a valid question to ask.
Because don't they even check the samples, not necessarily semen, but like the samples from the crime scene against the police officers who were at the crime scene? I don't know. Whatever. Listen, I can't get too far into it because the answer is just no.
I think the part of the book that confused me the most and was so not needed was randomly in the middle of the novel, some dude comes into Sarah's house and like fucks her in her sleep and then just leaves.
Oh my God. I completely forgot that happened. Was that Bob?
That's what the speculation is that it was Bob. But I'm just also like, girl, like, you hear someone come into your house, and in your, like, sleep, and you're just in, like, this deep slumber, and apparently you're not even, like, awake for, I don't know. It was very weird.
Your husband is in jail, and, I mean, obviously she's, I mean, when did her and Bob start sleeping together?
I guess after they found out, I guess, like, after they found out that Adam was cheating on her. I don't know. I
completely forgot that happened.
But then, wow. And then in my head, I'm like, okay, so Sarah and Bob were working together, but you, again, it's not believable because of the way that they treat each other in the office. I'm like, you have to give me something that makes me think that, okay, they have some kind of, like, connection that even though, like, they're an asshole to each other, like, maybe something happens and that kind of gives you an idea, like, yes. Oh, maybe there is something more, but or no, they're like, just... they're just assholes to each other.
A suggestion that they've spent any time together outside of the office. Like, oh, sometimes I have to go on business trips with that asshole. Like, even just anything to hint that they had been together in the same spot. Because, first of all, they're not doing anything in the office because Anne is so far up Sarah's ass that they'd never be able to get away with anything.
No.
So, like, where is this happening?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't. Yeah. Was there anything else that I didn't touch on? It was just such a mess.
Yeah, I have another question. Okay. I feel like Adam is obviously pathetic. I mean, I read about the ants. You know, he's escaping. He's just a hot mess. But the fact that in the 11 years later chapter, that he's so fucking pathetic.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sarah, I thought you still love me. I thought, why are you squeezing my hand so weird? What's going on? Like, what?
Yeah.
That wasn't a question.
No, because I was also waiting for the symbolicness of why she was, like, squeezing his hand. And I'm like, well,
like, it was literally just counting down 10 minutes.
But that doesn't make any sense. Like, why is she even doing that? Like, because I'm thinking, oh, this is it. She's going to do it. And then the big reveal, she's going to come out with the big reveal once his 10 minutes is up. And it just, like, didn't happen. And then Adam.
Both reference it. They both talk about the hand squeezing.
Yeah. And Adam is, you know, like, are you led to believe that he figured out that Sarah was the one who did it when he's dying? And I'm like, it doesn't read that way, if that's how it's supposed to come across. Because, like, all he thinks about is Sarah when he, like, dies. I'm like, okay, well, that's also the last person you fucking saw. But, like, just because she insinuates that she knows that Adam didn't do it, but gives no reasoning as to why. You know, and he's just, like, he's, like, so, like, befuddled and can't figure out why she even said that and blah, blah, blah. And when he's dying, it's not like he has this, like, aha, light bulb moment. He's just like, oh, my last thoughts were Sarah. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, what does this book say about the death penalty? That it's someone who's wrongfully convicted, number one. And number two, that he was convulsing and did not go easily.
No. Did not.
I was like, oh, I do not like this. Mm-mm. Okay. Anyway, yeah, sorry, that wasn't a question. It was just a thought. I don't know. You got it all.
I'm gonna tell you right now that if this wasn't a book for the podcast, I would have DNF'd this so fucking quick. So fucking quick. Like, I didn't even have any interest of knowing what the end was gonna be because I was so put off by the writing. And the things that were happening were so far-fetched. And then there was never any resolution to 99% of the things that were brought up in the story. It just was wild. It was like the Wild Wild West in this book. I don't know.
I'm trying to see. Okay, hold on. Okay. So I first read this January 1st, 2023.
Okay, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And the only reason I stuck with it is because this book was so damn popular.
I know.
Everyone was reading it. That's why I truly believe this is a silent patient.
It is.
Because, I mean, I guess if you don't read a lot of thrillers, then the twist would be...
And you know what? I think that's what it is. And, like, we've talked about this so many times that now, like, the kind of books that we read now and the quality of the authors that we read, when we come across these books that there's not really any substance to it and that's fine and it becomes super popular.
And, like, this book, okay, it has 847,000 ratings on Goodreads. It has a 3.97.
I know.
That's really high.
I know.
I was reading through some
of the reviews of people that, like, I follow that read this book and they're rating it so high and they're like, oh, this was such a good book. I didn't see it coming, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, but.
Yeah, you didn't see it coming. You know, this doesn't fucking make sense.
Like, the caliber of books that you're reading compared to this, it shouldn't be this highly rated book. But, like, that's just me. And obviously I can't speak for other people because other people might read this and find it to be like, oh, this was just what I needed between, like, it was a good palate cleanser and it was a quick read and blah, blah, blah. That's what I was looking for. So, okay, fine, fair. But personally,
hey, that's completely fine. Totally agree. People can have their own opinions. The reason it's so frustrating is because we know that they could be reading so much better books.
Exactly.
Like, that's why it's so frustrating because there are amazing thrillers that are also quick reads, palate cleansers, you don't have to take too serious. I don't know. It's the same thing with Silent Patient. I get why people, well, that one is more understandable. I get why people like it.
Yes, I could see it, but.
Mm-hmm. But it just seems so.
But again, like, I feel like people miss the overwhelming misogyny in his books. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's upsetting that like that gets overlooked because the storyline is X, Y, and Z. And...
because there's a twist.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. you don't see coming.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I don't want to read a book and be able to guess the ending, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But once the twist is revealed, you have to have some type of inkling that is like,
exactly. So like, this was not that moment for me, because I'm like, there's no fucking way she's the killer, because you never once presented an inkling of a moment in this book that could make me go back and say, you know what, I could see that it was her, and that was a really great red herring, blah blah blah. There's none of that. Mm-hmm. There's not anything in this book that if I go back that would make me like second guess, because she even like tries, she almost like sleeps with Adam again during the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, no. So anyways, I feel like it's understood how we felt about it. So the rating system is out of DNA tests. So how many DNA tests did you give this novel?
I gave this 2 DNA tests, mm-hmm. which is generous.
It is generous, because that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, but because it was so ridiculous from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
it actually was kind of entertaining how ridiculous it was.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I still wouldn't recommend it to anyone or choose to read it or any of that, but it was entertaining. I don't have anything else to say. It was bad. It was
no, and I haven't read issues. I haven't read any of her other books, and like, I don't want to, like, you know, like, she's just not my cup of tea. Like, I don't think that I'll read anything else by her. I think you've read one other one.
I read one other one, and the entire book was horrible except the last 2 chapters, and the last 2 chapters were amazing, and that's why I read this book. Because I mean, I read this one first, but I read this because everyone was saying how amazing it was. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, the ending is going to blow me out of the water, and it's going to make me forget about everything else that was shitty in this book. Her other book did do that for me. It was still not great, but the ending was very good, and it had that little thing that this is missing, where it's like, oh, I could see that being mm-hmm. the case. But yeah, I don't think her writing is for me either. It sucks. I was telling you, I love her. I think she's, because I follow her on TikTok.
Yeah, I hear that, like, she's so hilarious. Funny on TikTok. Yeah.
She makes the funniest videos. She's just, like, lovable and dry and sarcastic and funny. And I'm like, I want to love your books because you seem awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
exactly. I know. And it's like, it's just not for me. And like, that's fine. You know?
Yeah. I think we're going to sit out for the sequel.
Personally, I am going to sit out for the sequel. Yes. I'll like look up the summary at some point.
Yeah. I just do to see actually what happened. Own another book by her.
Is it the hair one with the scissors?
I think so.
Because I have heard good ones about that. So I think that if I am going to read another book, it's going to be that one. It's like One of Us is Dead or something.
One of Us is Dead. And what is this other one? Oh, the other one is Home is Where the Bodies Are. I don't have that one. Okay, yeah. One of Us is Dead I have. But I have not read it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll give it a try. Because fuck it, why not? Oh, I read another one by her. Now that I'm looking at my... Did I rate it? Oh, I rated it 3.5 stars.
Which one was that?
This is Dead Woman Crossing. It's like a detective, like police procedural. Oh, I said the main character is badass. But this, I said it was a little predictable. So sounds like the opposite of this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll read the other one and then I'll be able to make a...
a fully justifiable decision.
Be able to make an average of those books and a full, you know, opinion.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. I think that's enough trash talking of this book. I feel bad, but yeah, it is what it is.
We're sorry, Chamber Rose, if you listened. I hope you didn't.
You seem like a gem, so.
Yeah. Keep making your TikToks.
Bye. All right. Well, that's all we have for you today. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcafpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok, while it's still in existence, and Instagram at fullybookedcafpod to see our upcoming reads. Thanks for checking us out, and remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked.
Bye! Bye.